Welcome to the Kinect for Windows SDK Quick Start Tutorials. This is the Skeleton Tracking Fundamentals video. So in our last video, we saw the working with depth data, where we're using skeleton tracking with depth information to know whether a specific pixel represented a player or a skeleton. In this video, what we're going to do is actually get the skeleton data and then interact with that data in the specific joint location information. So the way that this works is we are going to sign up for an event, the skeleton frame ready event. And when a skeleton is tracked, this event fires and it returns the skeleton frame ready event args. That event args has a skeleton frame with a lot of data about the aggregate frame, the floor clip and so forth, the quality, and a collection of skeletons. Now you're going to get six skeletons every time this event fires, and of which one or two will have a tracking state of tracked, and those represent up to two players that you can track. And for those players, you'll have a collection of joints that includes the position of each of the different joints, like say, where's your head at? Now, to illustrate this, this graphic shows the 20 different joints that the skeleton data returns. And each of these has a position value between negative 1 and 1 on the X, Y, and Z axes, and Z representing how close or far you are from the Kinect sensor. And I think these represent meters, if I'm correct, and I think it's on another slide as well. But the point here is, when we get a skeleton, we look for a track skeleton. We can then see this whole collection of joints and then decide what to do based on that location of those joints. So just to review here, a maximum of two players tracked at once per connect. There's a XYZ joints in meters. And then there's an associated joint state. So one thing to keep in mind is, let's say for example, I do something like this where my elbow is actually being cut off. Now, Kinect, this is just an example, but Kinect could, for example, infer where that the elbow is based on the position of my wrist and based on the position of my shoulder. It can kind of say, hey, this is where I think the person's a specific joint is. And that can be occluded, clipped, or low confidence. And not tracked is rare, but it's something you should look for as well in your code. So let's go into some demos. So in this demo, we have just a main window. It's inside a canvas. We have three ellipses. So the ellipses represent different joints that we are going to dynamically move when that skeleton frame ready event fires for the head, the right, and the left joints. So we're going to move those ellipses based on those values. So let's look at the code here. And just jump to the very top. We have our runtime, like we've been doing as usual. We initialize it, and we're going to use skeleton tracking. We're not using any of the camera data, so we don't need to know the camera data. And we sign up for the skeleton frame ready event. Now, what'll happen is this event fires when we actually have a tracked skeleton. So this represents all skeletons. What really I want to do is get the first track skeleton. And you can track up to two. And we'll just do that by doing a simple link query to pull the first skeleton with a tracking state of tracked. So now that we have the first skeleton, what we can do is use the set ellipse position. And we're going to pass in the left and right hand joints and, of course, the head joint. And that includes the position and whether it's clipped or not, the quality as well. So let's add a couple of breakpoints. We'll do one before, one inside. Actually, we'll just do one. We'll jump inside. And let's just click run. Now, nothing's going to happen until I step off the chair, Kinect all of a sudden sees my skeleton, and I'm now at a breakpoint inside that skeleton frame ready event. Now, let's just open up an immediate window and just show what's going on here. So we have that skeleton, and we can, for example, see the quality of that skeleton. So we can see that it's clipped to the left and clipped to the bottom. Good example of this is Kinect can actually see, based on its current position, where my feet are. So we can do things, for example, adjust the tilt, or just realize that in our application, and maybe give the user some visual feedback that says maybe move back. And some of you may have seen this in Kinect titles as well. So when we're working with a collection of joints, what we can do is pass in a joint ID, and I'll say, which is an enumeration, and in this case, I will pass in, say, head. And we see that it's tracked, and there is a position for it. And let's just do that one more time, and just show you the XYZ values. So these XYZ values are between negative 1 and 1. And what we want to do actually next in our code is actually scale those. And you can decide how to scale those values based on what your application needs. But let's just jump into a simple example. And at this point, we're passing in the joint, and that's a head joint. And we're going to use the scale to, this is an extension method in the Coding for Fun library that scales it. So our window, I think, is 640 by 480. And what we're doing here is, let me just show you the IntelliSense, it's setting the max skeleton value. So 0.99, of course, one being the total max. So this is almost just a little under the max. And then the max skeleton Y value. And the reason these are used, and it's best explained visually when we go through the application, is sometimes, depending on what your application does, you don't want the user having to go the full, say, 2 meters back and forth. What you want them to do is to not have to move. Say I'm using a cursor application, I don't want to have to move 2 feet this way to interact with the application. Or maybe you do and you want to keep these values high, or even put them higher. In our case, let's just show how this works, and I want to remove the breakpoint so we can kind of see this in action as well. Let me just... Okay. So now what you're looking at is orange represents my head, green is my left hand, and that gray is my right hand. So what I'm going to try and do is, with that scaling value, we scaled x to 0.99, I want to try and hit the edge of that window, which is the 640 value. And you see that I can't. I really have to move my body all the way over to be able to do that. So when you're scaling those values between negative 1 and 1 based on what your application needs, what we can do, and I just want to stop this application, is set a smaller value. So let's just do 0.5f. And click run, and now all I need to do is move my hand. I don't even need to reach my hand all the way out, and I'm able to reach the maximum value. So just keep it in mind, depending on what your application does, you don't want to just map a value and say, hey, I want you to go. If you want to go to 0.00, you really have to put your hand up. You can use these scaling values to scale a joint position based on how you want your application to interact. Now, one thing you may see is the hands being a little jumpy there. You can see it on the green one there. What I want to do is show you how you can have a simple way of adding quality or removing jitter from the joint positions as it fires. So there's a number of things that you can do programmatically to do this. For example, you may do intervals, and rather than changing a position, if it's a really small position, you wouldn't necessarily want to move it. Like if somebody's hand's just moving just slightly, you really may not want that to seem still. And there's a number of different algorithms that you can use and so forth. These are things that are built into the Kinect for Windows SDK that allow you to control and fine-tune how that joint position works. So to do this, after we call initialize, set transform smooth equal to true. We have a transform smooth parameters. And you can play with these depending on what your application does. What might be right for you may not be right for some, as they say. But we can set things like smoothing, correction, prediction, jitter radius. So if you're depending on what your application is doing and how it performs, you really may not want it to be to feel laggy. And prediction basically allows you to do something. For example, like I predict that, you know, based on where somebody's kicking, their final foot is going to be here, but maybe it's not. And prediction may be something that you want to turn off. Really depends on how your application goes, and you can set these values, and more than anything, test using these values and see how they work based on your application. So we built these applications, and really what we're doing is setting the jitter radius and the max deviation radius and smoothing. And we're going to set the smooth parameters here and just rerun our application, and you should see just a bit smoother in terms of when we move and how that goes. So you can obviously fine-tune this based on what your application needs, but what we've shown really is how you can get the skeleton data, how you can get the joint positions, how you can scale them based on what your application needs, and setting a max value within using the Coding for Fun library to help do that. You can of course use your own libraries to do this as well. And then how you can use the transform smooth parameters to fine tune that joint jitteriness and the smoothing and correction and prediction. So there's definitely a lot more within skeleton data, but this is enough to get you started building rich, deeper applications. Thanks.